This can only be a very brief introduction to this very important conference, number 16, of the Conference of John Cashin on the subject of friendship, the De Amicitia of Cashin, which of course is borrowing from other treatises on friendship, which can be found beginning with Plato, but especially in Aristotle, and then taken up in a particular way by Cicero. To some extent, Cashin borrows from these, but he also has his own particular issues, as I mentioned before, in the area of friendship, which have to do with the importance of dealing with anger. His sense, and that's the reason for briefly looking at this conference, and we will not look at it in detail, I'm afraid, his concern is that if you wish to have a friendship, you must be aware of the extent to which friendship can be destroyed by anger. And he would even go so far as to say how friendship can be destroyed by an anger that is masquerading as holiness. That there are valuable remedies to anger which can be misused, things like particularly psalmody or silence, and which can be used as pretenses for the much more fundamental and important task of actually speaking with the person and seeking to make peace with the individual with whom anger is threatening. So let's just very briefly look at a couple of points in this rather long and detailed conference, which we would have to come to again in a more full and appropriate study of friendship in itself. From the perspective of our concern with the proper use of the thumicon, or the use of anger, he mentions at the very beginning the various kinds of friendship. And this is a classical way of beginning this kind of a treatise. We find it in Aristotle, we find it in Cicero. And looking at the various kinds in chapter 2, notice his conclusion in chapter 3, which is that there is a highest form of friendship that has to do with similarity of virtue. That is to say, real friendship can exist only between those who delight in the same thing and who delight in the same good, who want the same good both for themselves and for the other, and who will therefore be of benefit to the other because they try to help the other attain that end. For those who are seeking that same good, then the most destructive thing in that relationship will be the vice of misused thumos, expressed as anger. If we drop down to number 5, he'll say that this lasting friendship can only exist among those who are genuinely seeking the perfection of God, who are seeking moral goodness. It can be preserved only, he says in chapter 6, by those who are fundamentally willing to renounce everything except this quest for the good. They must be willing to prune their own wishes and not presume to prefer their own opinions to that of the other. They have to recognize that love and peace, that is to say, the opposite of anger, warfare, and contention, must be prized above all else. And then he says in number 4, he should never be angry. The person who wants to maintain friendship should not tolerate anger for any reason, good or bad. And then, in his 5th reason, they should try to cure any wrath, not that they have, not that the person who desires friendship may have, but the wrath they perceive in the other. They have to be willing to desire that the other's anger with them be dealt with for whatever reason, even if it's an illegitimate reason. He says that no vexation finally must be allowed to remain. So you can see how important for Cashin the proper use of, or I should say the elimination of, any misuse of the thumicon really is. One has to deal with one's anger if friendship is to be maintained. And he has some very interesting interesting things to say. If we drop down to chapter 9, he says we have to get rid of even the spiritual things that seem to cause us to be disharmonious with one another, the spiritual causes of anger. He says you cannot trust to your own judgment. You have to be open to very seriously considering the good of the other. He says that finally love is God, and that therefore one is experiencing in friendship a very beautiful gift from God. And he defends in chapter 14 the idea that there would be different kinds of love. He's trying to say that it's not only okay but a very good thing for there to exist in community friendships, that there be specific individuals with whom one particularly shares this kindred disposition because of a love of a common virtue. That is a living out of the example of Christ himself, he would say, who had a particular form of love, diathesis, a particular love for Saint John, the evangelist, who rests on the breast of the Lord. And so in chapter 14, part 3, he uses the example of Saint John as a justification of the idea of friendship existing even within a community of people with whom one expresses and experiences a kind of loving for the other. And he then goes on in Numbers 15 and 16 to try to point out that we have to be aware of any who have a grudge against us. We need to be willing to deal with that. That we should show patience in a particular way towards the brothers. And then he begins in chapter 18 a discussion of how a pretended virtue can be really destructive of friendship. One can pretend to be working on anger, but instead be engaging in a kind of arrogant pretense. We can use silence or an unwillingness to look at the other, the so-called silent treatment, or even a kind of a pious refraining from speech as a way of making the other person more angry, in an almost devilish way, to use silence as a way of making the other more angry, and then interiorly allowing ourselves to imagine that somehow our silence is a good thing. This is rather like what we saw him speaking of in the Institutes in regard to the dangers of solitude. You don't retire into the hermitage to deal with your anger, and even silence can be misused. Fasting can be misused. I can fast because my rage is keeping me from wanting to eat food. In the same way, we can offer in chapter 20, feigned patience. We offer the other person our cheek. We know that we are suffering unjustly and they're going to hurt us again, and we just accept it, and that's going to make us more holy. In many ways, all these things can be true, but Cashin is pointing out that there is a kind of a devilish temptation based on, if we look at it very carefully and if we are aware of what's going on in our own hearts, a kind of a misuse of our own capacity towards wrath that is deliberately trying to irritate the other by pointing out to them how piously noble we are by suffering their wrath. So he points out that we have to be aware that Christ is looking not only at our action, but at our wills. And in regard to friendship, it is very important to be willing to yield to the will of the other, even if we perceive that they are angry for an inappropriate sort of reason. And we have to constantly take the other into account. Let's stop there in terms of our assessment of this conference. Please do feel free and even encouraged to spend time looking at it. Many people are a little puzzled when they find that a treatise on friendship should be so overwhelmingly concerned with the misuse of anger in a way that leads to a false or pretended piety. In many ways, the De Amicitia, the treatise on friendship, is also a De Ire. It's also a treatise on anger. And that's why I think we have to look at Institutes 8 and Conference 16 together. For Cashin, there is a real misuse of the capacity of the Thumicon that is destructive of relationships, but at its core also has the potential for being destructive of this very precious gift of God, which is the unique friendship that can and should exist in community, and which can easily be destroyed by a pretended piety that is actually stoking the fires of a kind of a secret wrath within the heart. This is something that a person has to be aware of, has to be speaking of in the context of their own relationship of spiritual direction, and has to be willing to change.